Little Hand says it's time to rock and roll.
Bring the noise.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Welcome to Earth.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
Bong. James Bong.
Pop quiz, hot shot.
Your move, creep.
Get off my plane.
Get your ass to Mars.
I feel mean. The name's Earth.
I'm your huckleberry.
We see we cut the Kit Kat and haul.
Hey, motherfucker.
Hello and welcome to the Everything Action Cast. It's a podcast for May 31st, 2021. I'm your host, Zach, and joining us this week we have Chris.
Hello.
And we got a bunch of stuff to dive in this week. Not quite as much as like last week or the week before, but still a bunch of stuff to dive into. And we'll kick things off with some trailers. And actually, it seems like there's been no trailers to talk about this week, but then like we're recording this on Thursday, and apparently everyone decided today was trailer day, because just a bunch of shows dropped today. We're recording this, but we'll keep things off with a trailer account. I think it was the day after we recorded last week, so I think it was Friday last week or Saturday last week. We got the first trailer for Infinite, which is actually out next week on Paramount Plus. It's gonna be a Paramount Plus exclusive. And this is the new Mark Wahlberg movie, directed by Antoine Fuqua, who directed pretty much all the recent Denzel movies, Equalizer and Magnificent Seven and a bunch of other stuff. I think he directed. Did he direct Training Day or wrote Training Day? I know he's always associated with Training Day. I can't remember if he wrote it or directed it. But yeah, bunch of stuff. It looks Highlander-esque, I guess, where it's Mark Wahlberg is this guy, and then he finds out that he is he's lived 1,000 different lives, and then he I guess he has skills from those lives, and he starts to have memories of those lives, and then Chiwetel Ejiofor is another infinite, because everyone who's a Highlander past life person is an infinite. Who tries to get him to I guess, and it seems like there's factions of infinites. So there's evil fat infinites and good infinites or something. It looks like. And so yeah, so Mark Wahlberg kind of learns about this new hidden world of the infinites, and then is caught between the two factions, and there's a lot of crazy action ensuing.
It reminds me of a match of recent movies. It's got a vibe. I don't know. I got Spencer Confidential, Mark Wahlberg still.
Well, I mean, Mark Wahlberg is Mark Wahlberg in every movie, so it's
right.
He
threw him in what is the Old Guard, kind of.
Yeah, especially Chiwetel Ejiofor, and then the sort of immortal, but they're not really immortal. There's they die, but then they come back, and they remember, everything happened before that, so, yeah.
Yeah, I just want to know the rule. I think I'd be less confused, less on board, more on board, if I understood how the rules work. Because the trailer of just, Mark Wahlberg in jail, interrogation didn't sell me on it just yet.
Yeah. But yeah,
he's I'm just nobody. I really fit nobody.
Yeah.
I understand if he was are you ex-military? Do you have, some sort of, assassin training or something?
I'm just a normal guy. It's me, Mark Wahlberg. I'm just a normal guy.
I'm working at this burger shop, my brother's.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Did he just, was he doing his ordinary job, and then now it's oh, shit, I've had this past experience? Or is it...
It seems maybe he's having, nightmares or something about previous lives, but doesn't really know what it is, and then, Chiwetel Ejiofor is oh, you're an infinite, but then someone else whoever that girl is that comes and rescues him from the police station, they drive through the police station, which is looks like a pretty awesome action sequence, but yeah, and then there's it seems like they're there's some sort of war between infinites, or there's two factions of infinites or something. Who knows? But Yeah, I don't. It doesn't really look like it's like speaking in like video game lingo. It doesn't look like a system seller for Paramount Plus. Like it looks like if you have Paramount Plus, like sure, like it's probably worth checking out. But like it doesn't seem like it's worth like specifically getting Paramount Plus just to watch it.
Yeah, it's not like you need to watch this one movie that's gonna convince you to keep like reapplying.
Yeah,
like it just proves that like Paramount is just pulling movies out of theaters and throwing them into their streaming, because I believe this movie was going to be in theaters and then they just said, promote streaming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we need content. But yeah, I guess if you have Paramount Plus, you can watch it next week on June 10th. So keep an eye out for that one. And then we also this week got the trailer for Demonic, which is the return of Neil Blomkamp, who has not been seen in theaters, at least, since 2015 when Chappie came out. That was his last big theatrical release. He's been doing a lot of, like, smaller stuff. He's been doing, like, a lot of, like short films and short, like, video kind of experimental stuff over on, like, his Oats Studio YouTube channel. And also, like, getting attached to things and then, like, those things falling through, like the, like, Alien reboot and the RoboCop reboot and, like, other things that he got, like, attached to and then never happened. But, yeah, he's finally back with a full movie. It's going to be in theaters. And a straight horror movie at this time. Like, it doesn't look like there's a little bit of, like, kind of like a sci-fi, like, tinge to it, but it looks, like, very, like, it's, like, more horror than, like, anything he's ever done before, it looks like.
Okay.
And there's some sort of like it's like some sort of like I don't know if it's like an experiment or like a treatment or something, but there's this woman who like she gets hooked up to like this like machine, and then it looks like she like it seems like she's going into like her like mind or like going to like some sort of like alternate plane or something, but it's like when it's in like the machine thing, it's like rotoscoped, so it looks kind of like a Scanner Darkly or something, where it's like this like animation, but like it's like layered over like the actual actors and stuff, which looks kind of interesting.
Oh, almost like a Scanner Darkly.
Yes, exactly. And yeah, there's something with like her mom got possessed by a demon or something, but then like this experiment maybe like caused like demons to start like appearing again or something, and then there's like Catholic priest exorcism squad is to show up or something, so it looks like in the vein of like most demonic possession movies, but like maybe like a more like a technology bend to it a little bit. But yeah, glad to see Neil Blomkamp back. I probably would have liked to see more of like would have liked to see like what his Alien or like RoboCop movies would have been. But
I know one could dream.
Yeah. But this, I mean, this looks like a kind of like a solid demonic horror movie. So, and it'll be August 20th is when that's out. So you can check that out when it comes out. And then speaking of weird technology stuff, we also got the first trailer for Reminiscence, which is the first movie from or the first directorial movie from Lisa Joy, who is one of the co-creators of Westworld. She created Westworld with her husband Jonathan Nolan. But she wrote and directed this one, and it's got Hugh Jackman, and there's a lot of stuff going on in this movie. It's like a dystopian future where like climate change has caused like flooding, so like it's set in like Miami, but like Miami's like underwater, like or a lot of Miami's underwater now.
Yeah, and it's like the seas reclaiming the land.
Yes, so that's happening. Also, apparently there's just like wars happening everywhere. Or like some sort of war, yeah. But then Hugh Jackman is this guy who has created some sort of machine that basically lets you like relive memories, and you can like see the memories as holograms, and you can go to like a tank and like totally like experience them fully. But then it's also like it looks like a super old school like noir partly coup, because it's like Rebecca Ferguson comes in as like a straight up just like a femme fatale that shows up and it's like wants to like do something with her memories, but then like she disappears, so then Hugh Jackman becomes like obsessed with finding her and like going into her like the memories they stored on like the machine, I guess, and like seeing what, like and then trying to find what happened to her. So it's like a sci-fi noir.
It's a lot of things at once, and I don't know. Like, the biggest vibe I got was like an Inception type thing, because we didn't be talking. I was like, all right, I feel like.
Yeah, I mean, Lisa Joy is Christopher Nolan's sister-in-law, so definitely like seems like it's definitely like in the family style of like.
I didn't know that. I would have been like, dear Christopher Nolan, who is this person stealing your work? You should find him.
Yeah.
Or is it like a early draft he like left out, and she just like took it and was like, yes, and like it became hers.
But yeah.
The machine is kind of like this archaic, like dream machine, because it's not like slap on a bunch of like it wires.
It's like a sensory deprivation tank kind of at certain points, but then it's also just like a hologram machine. Like, so I guess you go in the tank and then you like project the memories. Or something, I guess. I don't know. I guess we'll find out when the movie comes out, I guess. But, like, yeah, there's a lot of, like, there's, like, it looks like there's, like, two different kind of, like, aspects to it. You can see holograms of the memories, but you can also, like, go into this tank and, like, just, like, fully experience, like, sensory, like, every sensation of the memory you can experience.
Yeah, you, like, relive the whole thing.
Yeah. But then it looks like, it seems like there's gonna be a thing where like Hugh Jackman is like he's like in there he's in the machine too long, or like he's like pushing the machine to its limits, so it's like affecting his brain or something maybe, because he's like you gotta stay, you gotta like I gotta figure out what's going on. But yeah, it looks interesting. Like I definitely there's definitely gonna be some sort of like crazy twist about like what is actually happening too. Like it's gonna be like, oh, like. The end of the movie is like, oh, it's like an old man Hugh Jackman the entire time. He's been like trying to like relive this whole thing, or Rebecca Ferguson never existed or something. It's going to be some sort of crazy twist probably at the end. Knowing like after seeing like three seasons of Westworld, like there's going to be some sort of like crazy like twist at the end of this.
It's probably some dream within a dream.
Yeah, or something, yeah. Some sort of Nolan-y twist to it. But this is also going to be August 20th, although this is going to be in theaters, and it's going to be one of the HBO Max movies, so you can watch this at home if you want, and if you have HBO Max, or head out to the theaters, and theaters will probably be like mostly back to normal by that time, so you can probably do either one. And then last trailer we got this week is we got the first trailer for America the Motion Picture, which is going to be out at the end of this month on June 30th, just in time for the long 4th of July weekend. But it's an animated movie from a lot of team, like some of the teams that brought you like Archer and Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse and Magic Mike and Expendables, and a whole slew of like awesome voice actors. You got like Channing Tatum and Jason Mantzoukas and Bobby Moynihan and Judy Greer, Simon Pegg, Will Forte, Adam Sandberg, Olivia Munn, Killer Mike. And it's basically like it's the quote unquote true story of how America was founded, like the American Revolution, but it's all just like insane nonsense of like ghost Abraham Lincoln and mech suits and like everyone's cursing and drinking and all steampunk stuff and like anachronistic stuff, like people who weren't even alive during the revolution are like part of this like super team that George Washington founds or forms to like take on the British. So I think one of George Washington's team becomes like a RoboCop centaur or something. So it's just like it's all just like insane nonsense.
It's all like a fever dream that really should have been like a YouTube sketch. I don't know how it became like.
It reminds me a lot of like Axe Cop.
Yeah, yeah. It's something where it would be kind of like a pilot joke. And it's only because it's popular because, like, the animation studio, like, the people behind it are very good. But if someone else did it, it probably wouldn't have, like, gotten this far through, like, marketing and executives, you know? Mm-hmm. It seems really, like, crazy. It's like, oh, because, like, I'm confused about how, like, the timeline works and where it really takes place in history. Because it jumps, like, certain aspects a lot that I think is, like, the joke of it.
Yeah, I think that's the whole point is, like, it's the true story, but it's just like there's total like everything is anachronism. Everything is like makes no sense. Like people who like weren't born during the Revolution are here. Somehow like Abraham Lincoln and John Wilkes Booth factor in, even though they were like hundreds of years away from.
Right.
And it's just like it's all super modern. Like everyone's cursing and making modern references, and
Chan Tatum is having fun. Like
oh my god, yeah, Chan Tatum is George Washington is having super fun. Like seems like he's in like his like 21 Jump Street mode, just like being just like an aggressive bro, just like.
Yep. Which I like.
Jason Mantzoukas is Sam Adams.
Oh, that's his character. Okay.
Yeah.
Half the time he's just Jason Mantzoukas.
Well, yeah, Jason Mantzoukas is just always Jason Mantzoukas whenever he is, and even like Invincible, he's just Jason Mantzoukas with like explosion powers. Sam Pegg is King James.
I don't think I heard him talk.
Yeah, I don't think King James was in the trailer, but there was like Andy Samberg is Benedict Arnold, and he was in the trailer for like a one of the scenes. But yeah, so yeah, if you like Archer, like Axe Cop, any of that sort of stuff, like it looks sort of like Axe Cop mixed with like Drunk History or something, where it's just historical nonsense.
It almost looks a little bit like Venture Brothers too.
Yeah, like if Venture Brothers had like a flashback to like the Revolution or something, this is what would it be? Like if the Venture Brothers ancestors were secret, or how like the America was founded in like the Venture Brothers universe or something. But yeah, it'll be June 30th on Netflix. You can check it out when that comes out. So moving on, actually speaking of streaming stuff, we found out this week, actually it launched this week, so it's out right now if you want to get this version, but HBO Max has its new ad-supported version. So I believe it is, instead of like the $14.99 a month, it's $9.99 a month, and there will be ads in between, like before content, I think possibly during content as well. And then also this cheaper version, you don't get the same day theatrical releases. So you won't if you get this version, you're not gonna be able to like, watch stuff like Godzilla vs. Kong or Mortal Kombat or like stuff that's coming up later this year. So I don't know. they're saying the commercial load's gonna be low. So, but yeah, I mean, I don't like just pay the extra $5 and like get like the theatrical movies and no ads. Like I don't know. I don't know if it's like saving $5 is like worth like ads and like no theatrical movies and like no 4K and like.
Probably one streaming device allowed.
I don't think they set a limit on like the like streaming devices. Like I think it's probably still like whatever you want to sign into. But it's also like Paramount Plus also I think this week or I think it's like is it launching next week or like very soon they're having like a $4.99 plan that's also gonna be like ad supported, we're getting a lot of like ad supported versions of these streaming services now. I guess to try to get more boost the numbers up.
And it's hard to compete when most services kind of are. It's so many to choose from, and now advertising just kind of sneaks away in. Because I think Netflix at one point was also thinking about adding ads, and people were just like freaking out, and I think they backed off that idea.
Yeah.
Because it's hard to like watch something ad free and then suddenly go to ads and you're just like, why?
Especially if it's like a really bad like cut from like to the ads, like if it's like right in the middle of a scene or something.
Oh yeah, and
like some
it's not like handcrafted to put the ad in the right spot like a TV show.
Yeah.
Was. It's kind of like, oh, in the middle of an action sequence and pause and here's an ad.
Yeah, like some of the free like I love like Tubi and like Pluto TV and stuff, but like there's definitely some like really awkward cuts on those where it's just like, I don't know, here's an ad. Like right in the middle of a scene or like right in the middle of like a thing. It's also like sometimes they'll have like show like it'll be a show that like already has like pre-made like commercial breaks, but then they don't use them. They just like cut it, like right before that or something, and then it's like cuts and then it's like commercial break, but then it's like so it's like off from where it actually have commercials. So who knows what these like HBO Max and like Paramount Plus plans are gonna do, but I'd hope they have sort of like a smarter way to do ads and on both those you won't be able to like you're not gonna have like the like high quality you're not gonna get 4K streaming or like HDR or any Dolby Vision or any of that stuff on these new ones. And on the Paramount Plus side, if you do the cheaper model, you're not going to get any like live streams. So like, because if you right now, if you start at Paramount Plus, you get like live CBS streams, like the networks that CBS owns. So if you do like this like $4.99 cheaper version, you don't get any like live CBS streams on it.
I mean, it makes sense why they're trying to discount it. But again, it's hard to go back.
Mm-hmm. But I do think for the Paramount Plus like cheaper version, I think you will still be able to get like the when they start doing like they're like when they cut the because they're cutting the theatrical run in half, so it's like 45 days after something's in theaters, it'll be on Paramount Plus. So, like I think A Quiet Place is going to be the first one where it's like in like I guess it's we're like 30 something days from now, it'll be on Paramount Plus. So I believe in both versions, you'll still get like those, which is like different from the HBO Max one, where like you don't get the same day theatrical boot releases. But yeah, just the streaming wars just get more and more complicated. So. It'll probably get even more complicated when the Warner Discovery deal goes through. So also this week, we got some interesting news about the Super Mario Bros. Movie, which I believe like is a cult favorite among a lot of people.
Not according to some of our fans on Facebook.
Yeah, cult favorite to some, one of the worst movies ever made to others. But there's been this project for like years. There's a website called like Super Mario Brothers Archive, which is like the like just a like just absolutely like exhaustive like collection of like props and any sort of like details about like if you want to know anything about the Super Mario Brothers movie, like you have to it's like smbmovie.com is like the like it's there like they have everything you possibly imagine is on there, but apparently they found a like VHS tape that was from like one of the producers of the movie, and it had 15 minutes of delete like scenes that were never in the other releases. So it's 15 minutes of footage that like no one has ever seen before this VHS tape came into like their possession. So they've been spending like years trying like because this VHS tape was like horrible shape, so they've been like trying to like get it up to like kind of like restored quality, and they finally like have it like right like they got it to like a level where like I don't think it's like seamlessly like in the movie like it's not like seamless compared to, like the actual scenes that are in the movie, but like it's very good quality for like what the original copy they had. And so now there's an extended cut of the Super Mario Bros. Movie that's up. It's up on like the Internet Archive, so you watch it for free on the Internet Archive, or you can go like the smbmovie.com and watch it. But yeah, it's the Super Mario Bros. Movie from the 90s with 20 minutes of footage that no one's ever seen before now. So it's a lot of like extended scenes that are like extensions on scenes or like actually like deleted scenes that were never like just like cut for time or cut for whatever reason.
I wonder if it's worth it, like because that movie is fun in its own way. Definitely not for someone who he's never seen it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's a...
Yeah.
Definitely gotta be in the mood to watch it.
I guess there's, like, there's a scene where you get to, like, actually see, like, the Mario Brothers, like, rivals, like, the Scapellis, who are, like, a, like, I guess they're kind of, like,
plumbers,
a...
Plumbers, right?
Yeah, they're, like, a mafia, like, fronted, like, plumbing company. There's, like,
oh, no.
I guess there's...
They saw, like, a brief glimmer when they're running out. They're damaging the pipes. And that's what kind of caused them to go there in the first place.
Okay, yeah. I think, like, whatever, like, the extended version of that scene is, like, you get to see, like, a lot more of, like, them, and, like, they actually, like, kind of face off with the Mario Brothers and, like, have, like, an argument or something.
You know, so, the classic of rivals in Mario.
Yeah.
I guess because I think the Super Mario movie came out way before Wario was a character.
It was 93, so.
I wonder if that's the same time. I'm just thinking of like advanced characters where it's like, wait, that was Wario's appearance? Like, he was Wario Scapelli? I'm just thinking that would have been hilarious to find out in this deleted version.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like Super Mario Land 2 came out like the year before the Mario Bros. Movie, but I'm sure Nintendo like didn't let the movie people like see anything about like they're like basically on like sort of the first movie or this first game maybe like
right,
who knows what the hell like Nintendo like were like telling them what to like base it out or like giving them as far as like material to use or something. I guess one of the big like scenes that gets edited back in or like that no one's ever seen before is like Iggy and Spike who are like the dumb henchmen of Koopa. I guess they have like a whole like rap scene at like the club. So that scene in the club where like Mario has like dance with like
Big Bertha.
Yeah. So I guess like Iggy and Spike show up there and they have like a rap about like trying to overthrow King Koopa or something.
They're the bad guys. How are they singing about that?
I don't know. Yeah. But yeah, if you're interested, go to Internet Archive or go to like smbmovie.com. You can watch the full movie with these new scenes, 20 minutes of new scenes in it, and it probably won't make the movie any better or worse, but it's interesting just to see like these scenes that especially just like the like restoration job that they've done, because like there's like you can see like before and after photos of like the scenes, and it's like it is crazy how much work they did on these scenes. So we also this week got some news about the upcoming new TMNT movie that Seth Rogen is producing, and we have a release date for it. It's pretty far away. It's gonna be in August of 2023, August 11th, 2023 is when it's coming out. And it's gonna be a CG reboot of the Ninja Turtles. So I guess they're gonna try again. With not tied to any of the current like stuff that's going on, just like a new spin on the turtles.
I guess you know like I feel like the shelf life of a TMNT series now is like two 3 years, and then like a movie that kind of displaces that.
Yeah, Nickelodeon puts out a show, and then they try to do a movie. And then
never related.
Yeah. Well, I think Netflix is getting a. Well, actually, I don't know if that even happened. Like, cause, like now it's Paramount Plus now, so like I don't even know if that deal's still happening. But like, there was gonna be. I thought there was gonna be like a, like Netflix was gonna get a movie based on like the current Turtles, like Rise of the TMNT.
I thought we talked about it once.
Yeah, you definitely talked about it like before, but I don't know if it's even still happening now because like now it's like
Paramount Plus,
Nickelodeon, all the same thing. Like I'm sure like Paramount Plus is like no, like forget if it's like a new Turtles movie, it's coming to here first. Like, but yeah, since it's so far away, there's pretty much no information about this. Like I guess like I think Seth Rogen is like he's producing it. I think he might be like co-writing it, maybe, or something, or like Actually, Jeff Rowe, who co-directed Mitchell's vs. Machines, is going to be directing this Turtles movie, so that's pretty good.
Okay.
Other than that, yeah, we have pretty much no info. It's gonna be a while.
Seth Rogen is throwing money at this, and hopefully it'll go through.
It's one of many Seth Rogen's producing things, which, you know, I guess, like, as far as, like, Seth Rogen, like, producing, like, track record, like, pretty good so far. Like, Preacher, The Boys, Invincible, like...
He's on Invincible?
Yeah, he was one of the producers on Invincible.
Oh.
It's him and Evan Goldberg just, like, are just producing, like, all the big, like, comic book stuff right now, so...
That makes sense.
Yeah, so I'm given that stuff, like, I trust Seth Rogen with, like, a new Turtles thing. Like, I don't think it's gonna be, like, as crazy violent as, like, The Boys or Invincible or something, but...
I wish they would try to go on an adult theme.
Just, like, the full, like, based in the comic book, like, black and white.
Yep.
like, that brief glimpse we got from, like, Turtles Forever. Remember that, Chris?
Yep. Which is fun. Like, it gave me a glimmer of what the real adaptation would be like, and I want more.
Mm-hmm. I'm surprised there hasn't been, like, there was Batman versus Turtles. But yeah, I'm surprised, like, I guess because Nickelodeon owns it, like, they don't want to, like, go
too
crazy.
Yeah, they really don't want to go back to the adult brand.
But yeah, like, just, like, a full, like, comic-based, like, black and white Turtles movie. That's, like, crazy violent. But yeah, I guess, yeah, plenty of time to find out what the hell this new movie is going to be. Because it's 2 years away, or over 2 years away at this point, so...
And we'll see what the turtle, you know,
where turtles are at in 2 years. Because, like, I guess Rise is Rise of TMNT still going on? Like, or did that get canceled? Or I have no idea. I did not pay attention to it really.
Yeah, I have not.
They announced it, and I looked at the concept photo. I was like, this is not for me. And then
it's too weird. Like, they all have, like, spirit energy. I watched, like, one episode, and I was confused of, like, how they're able to do this. Like, and then it's like.
Raph is the leader now. Like,
yeah, they're more like Power Rangers than Teenage Mutant Turtles. Like, they're not.
Yeah.
They're not a ninja. They're more like just like everyday like heroes, which I didn't really like.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I guess we'll see if there's a new show or like where the turtles are at in a year or two. Maybe they'll give us an idea of what this movie's going to be. So, last bit of news this week. It's actually kind of breaking right before we started recording here, but some huge casting news for John Wick 4. Donnie Yen is going to co-star with Keanu in John Wick 4. He's going to be an old friend of John Wick, who it sounds like is possibly like is going to help John with his, like his war against the Continental or like the High Table. So Keanu and Donnie Yen teaming up to take down this like crazy assassin bureaucracy.
Yeah, whatever assassin government. Is the concept of TV show still happening? Because I feel like we're straying further from like the.
Yeah, I think the show's still happening, but the show's gonna be a prequel, so. So yeah, like that's gonna be like the early, like it's like the early days. I think the concept of that it's like a younger version of, like the Ian McShane character.
Mm-hmm.
That's the show. What the show's gonna be. But John Wick 4 is obviously taking place. Like I'm sure it'll take place like immediately after John Wick 3, where like he, he's excommunicated, and also like the Continental got like it's like whatever like the crazy term they used, and then like sort of got betrayed by Ian McShane,
which I can't tell was part of the plan or not part of the plan.
I think it was sort of part of the plan. It was like Ian McShane wanted to like stay in the good graces of like the high table, but then also like thought that like Ja would survive whatever happened, like the fall or whatever. So. But man, I can't even like can you imagine like a Donnie Yen, Keanu Reeves like a fight like an action sequence like the same as like the Halle Berry Keanu Reeves fight scene from 3. Like those two teaming up and just taking down like 40 or 50 guys.
Right.
Although I wonder, I don't know, as far as as far as gun stuff, has Donnie Yen done a lot of gun stuff?
That sounds like the 80s.
Yeah.
His big thing was always martial arts and, looking cool that way.
Yeah. So I wonder if maybe I don't know. I don't know if they have him do gun kata stuff too, or just maybe he'll be his like Star Wars character. And he's like a staff or something. He's taking people down with or something. Or barehanded martial arts.
Just grabbing guns and throwing them away.
Yeah, he's like the Rock from the Rundown, just taking guns and throwing them.
Yeah, and then throws a 2x4 at people.
Yeah. So so they're shooting John Wick 4 this summer. So I think they're starting shooting soon, and I think it's gonna be next year. May 27th next year is when John Wick 4 is coming out. So yeah, any John Wick thing, just hook it to our veins. it's one of the best action franchises of all time. So. So yeah, so that's pretty much it for news this week. So I'm diving into show and tell. And Chris, I think you saw Army of the Dead.
I did.
I talked about it last week, but you finally saw it. So I
did.
Think
after your description, I had to see it, and
I think
we're
so
pretty dead on.
Let's do we'll dive into spoilers. So spoilers for Army of the Dead you haven't seen yet, and we'll do some deep dive stuff. But yeah. Just overall, first, what did you think of it, Chris?
I enjoyed it. I enjoy it's a zombie action movie, and it's presentation-wise, it's a fun idea, but it's not gonna be a classic zombie movie because it tries to be a little too edgy filmmaking, and then trying too much in the middle.
Well, it kind of tries to be. It's trying to be a dramatic prestige drama. it's trying to add all this dramatic layer on top of it with the Batista's backstory and he's a stranger from his daughter and a lot of the Batista stuff is very trying to be very serious and dramatic, but then it's . But you're a zombie movie set in Las Vegas, so it's
which they didn't really utilize as much.
Be more funny. fun. Yeah.
In the opening, I was really hyped because the opening crawl with everything really good. It feels like a prequel. It feels like an awesome movie that I want to see.
The mini World War Z that you get to see.
The collapse of society, or the collapse of Vegas, the side stories that are kind of happening, the development of these characters that kind of force them have to jump into their zombie role.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. I'm a little confused at the timelines though, because did Batista kill his wife in the beginning, or did that just happen later?
Yeah. They never really get into how they contain the outbreak to Las Vegas, but then some zombies got out to Los Angeles or something, or Batista's wife got infected somehow. So it's how did it happen? Yeah.
Was it an accident?
Yeah.
Maybe don't live to a zombie infective zone.
I guess that's what the camp, the refugee camp is people who might be infected or something. Because there's a lot of stuff that they just never explain. There's here's this thing. robot zombies? Sure. the zombies can make babies? Sure.
Yeah, like, there's a lot of cool ideas that just don't really explain, and it's like...
They'll explain them in...
prequels and sequels, which...
Yeah,
come on.
The anime series, the prequel movie, the sequel movie. Like... It's also because it's 2.5 hours long, but then they don't like, he doesn't use the extended time to dive into things or explore things. Like it's most of the extended time is like them just wandering around places and arguing with each other.
So basically, with what I want to watch from it, and the way the movie was marketed and hyped up, is that you want to see this zombie heist that's going on during this event, but then the movie just kind of doesn't follow either, because the heist is really short. It is.
Oh, it's not even the heist. It's just I broke into there's some weird traps, and then I broke into the safe, and now we're good. Which I don't know. I didn't think about it when I was watching the movie, but then I saw a bunch of people point out it's so obvious too, but it's why didn't Hiroyuki Sanada just give them the combination? Because it's his fucking safe.
Maybe he doesn't know it because whoever knew it died, but if he said that in the beginning, that'd make more sense, right?
And he also doesn't tell, he's oh, it's non-lethal traps, but then it's machine guns and walls that crush you between them. Which I guess the explanation for that is he didn't actually want them to succeed because his whole thing was it was all about the Garrett Dillahunt's mission to get a zombie head or a live zombie out of the Las Vegas
military or something. But then why not just do that?
Yeah.
Why not just pay the Merc team to do that? Why try to trick them?
Yeah.
So I feel like that was a little too, I think the team would have been fine if they got paid to do that job and the hunt, both or the other, or hire a team that's going to help you track down the queen, because it seemed like the queen was really easy to get. Two people got the queen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It didn't seem like an impossible task. And you were right about hating the daughter character.
Oh my god.
I was just I was on board up until she started complaining. She's like, you're going to take me to Vegas or I'm going to go there and probably die. Wow. You are a terrible daughter. And Dave Bautista, he tries his best. He's trying his best to emote, trying to be a father figure, but then also be a tough bad guy, a tough, badass.
Yeah.
But the movie doesn't allow enough time for that.
Yeah. But then it's also So she's mad because Batista killed her mom, but then her mom was a fucking zombie, so it's what was he supposed to do?
Not even that. They explain. Here's a big spoiler. She's I forgive you for that. I just don't forgive you for, leaving me alone or something like that. You didn't comfort me. And he's just I was out trying to do this. I can't figure out what the timeline is. Was it after the Vegas got walled up? This is before? I have no fucking idea.
Yeah.
Is I get it if it was the beginning. So if the wife got turned to a zombie and then he killed her, and they're like, oh shit, and then the zombie outbreak happened and he's like, well, you go away from here, let me clean up Vegas with my crew. Let's do all these side missions. You know what I mean? That makes sense. But the freaking movie makes it seem like he did all that, went home, found his wife being a zombie, and then killed his wife and then became a fry cook.
Yeah, how did that happen? How did he become like this short order cook at this shitty diner?
Probably his money was all tied up in Vegas. Whatever military plan he had probably went down the drain. I don't know. There's so many side things that I thought it was it's been years in the collapse of society, but when you say no, it's just Vegas, then they're how does this make sense? You know, money's still valuable, so.
Yeah.
What happened here? Because he's not part of the internment camp.
No.
Which I don't understand how that's still a thing in the movie.
Yeah, I feel like that's just that Zack Snyder just saw oh, there's camps? at like the border or something, that like they'll be like they'll like be a good like social commentary for my movie, but then like no, there's like, no context for like how it fits into anything. It's just like, oh yeah, there's just like camps outside Las Vegas. It's like, but like why are the people there? Or, like were they from Vegas and they got stuck there, or like why can't they leave? And then why did a bunch of them have, like I decided to like go into like Vegas to, like steal money from slot machines? Like,
yeah, but
it's crazy because like people are going to like steal money from Las Vegas, but then it's like the next day like they just like bust you out of the camp anyway. So it's like, the daughter's like friend Gita or whatever. It's like, I need this money to like get us out of this camp, and then it's like next day like they're on a bus out of the camp.
So yeah, it's like, oh, they will never let us leave. It's like, well, no, they're leaving. They're taking you to leave right now.
Yeah.
So I don't understand that part. And then the coyote, she's a pretty cool character.
Yeah.
She's complicated. But, like, she... Actually, I don't remember when she's, like, the most interesting, because she understands, like, the need for the camp and that she has to go. She's been there a while. Mm-hmm. But then she also sort of knows, like, the evil hench guy who was totally going to betray everyone, like, as soon as he was introduced in the movie.
Yeah. I don't... Yeah. It seemed like she was... She knew the alternative plan.
Yeah,
somehow.
Like, did they know each other? Like,
never explained it. It's just like, all of a sudden there's like a scene where it's just like, oh, hey, by the way, like we're like doing like this like ulterior plan that from everybody. Like, she's just like, oh yeah, I'll go with you on this like whatever mission, like scouting mission. I'll go with you around the perimeter or whatever. And it's like, oh, so we're doing like the like capture the queen plan now. Okay.
Yeah, she was totally down. It's like, yeah, you want such plans? Okay. And it's not like they knew each other. It's not like they talked. He gave her, he bribed her. Nothing. It's just, we're doing this now. And she's like, mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah.
So that was missing. Like you said, this is like a 2.5 hour long movie, but they're missing like vital story beats that would help like a lot of people kind of like absorb a lot of the detail. I do like the like surprise deaths and, you know,
that everyone died, like literally every single person in the movie except for the daughter.
Ugh. Like, I don't mind.
Which is on
a bleak note, I get that. But then
yeah.
There's certain things where I'm like, all right, like as soon as that like that chick kind of like falls in the wrong direction, I was like, all right, dead. I didn't care. Like, and then the YouTuber guy, I was like, you're so gonna die too. Like, and not even in a cool way.
Yeah. Well, I love, like, that just makes, like, the daughter, like, even more pointless, is, like, the person that she goes in to rescue, like, Gita, like, dies in a helicopter crash, so it's, like, what was the point of any, like, what was the point of you even coming, like, you accomplished nothing. You got your dad killed, you got your, like, this friend killed, everyone in the crew got killed, like.
Yeah, I wasn't a fan once you told me, once you kind of spoiled things last time about certain details, and I'm, man, it is frustrating because a lot of this could have been avoided. The plan would have worked if a certain, certain things didn't go, like, astray, where, I don't know, they want to do, like, the right thing, but... It's like, no, like, don't, because it's fucking a nuke's coming. It's like, not even, oh, nuke's coming in, like, an hour. It's like, you have 9 minutes. You can't outrun that nuke.
Yeah, which, after like, the, when they think, like, the helicopter's not gonna work, they're just like, well, we can run. We can, like, get out of here. It's just like, I don't think you can, like, yeah, I don't think you can, like, run fast enough. Carrying... I love also, like, there's been a bunch of, like, great lists, like, people, like, analyzing, like, the logical holes of, like, Army that after came out. Like, people, like, a bunch of people pointed out, like, oh, like, if you're trying to carry, like, $200 million in bags is, like 2 tons of money.
They would be going up and down that elevator, like, all day.
Yeah.
But somehow they were almost going to do it, but I think that's the thing. They never got the money, like, outside of that hallway.
I guess, yeah. And then they're expecting it to like carry like 2 tons of money plus them in like that shitty helicopter on the roof that was like barely functioning.
That thing would have crashed.
So which somehow like Take the Taro like it was like spewing black smoke, and then like next scene it's like, oh, I got it working, it's fine.
What was it missing?
She just like hit it with a wrench a bunch of times and it started working, apparently.
So, I mean, again, it's a fun, silly time. It just, the movie, the more you think about it, the more, like, you're going to have questions, but you don't think about it so much. It's not bad. Visually, it did give me a little bit of a headache, because, like, my brain was kind of auto-focused on, like, all the blurry things.
Yeah, all the blurriness, yeah.
And I definitely had dead pixels on my streaming. Like, I had, like, missing white spots. And then on the TV I had, I definitely saw the weird CGI of, like, where Chris D'Elia was. Like, they'll just, like, especially when they grouped up around, like, the tunnel. And they did, yeah, like, really bad editing of trying to merge the scene. And it's, like, certain characters didn't move, but they kind of animated their body that they did.
Yeah, there's a couple scenes where you could definitely tell, like, oh, yeah, this is, like... Take the Taro was like digitally inserted here, but then like a lot of it was like very seamless, so that was very impressive.
I mean, it's fine. I get it. Like they try to do what they can, but it was like really distracting. My brain was trying to fix like the movie and while I was watching it.
Yeah, but yeah, the soft focus, like depth of field stuff, was definitely like what are you doing, Zack Snyder? Like,
you know better than this. Maybe one scene for, like, a nice visual thing, but then it's, like, every other scene was the blurry effect, or the camera would just sway off the screen, and, like, you know, I'm like, what? Focus on one thing. But, yeah, I didn't mind the concept, you know? I'm kind of interested to see what they're going to do next. If it's more of the same BS, I might be tapped out, because I feel like...
I would be interested in a prequel... That's like expands like the opening. Like if a prequel set with like Batista and his crew like saving people in Las Vegas during the zombie war or whatever, that would be cool.
Yeah, that would be cool. I would love to see another movie where it's like another crew that tries the heist and they, you know, they don't make it or something, like a very focused heist movie.
Or maybe they'll do like the time loop thing.
Make that
like actually like canon.
Watching that, and then I did not know. Like, I thought something happened. I was like, "What? Like, is this like a trick where it's like zombie movie, then turns out to be like a time loop movie?"
Yeah,
I don't understand how that works. It was such a weird thing. It freaked me out apparently, for a second.
Apparently that all came about because like Zack Snyder was just like, they were like dressing doing the set like design and the costumes for like those dead bodies or whatever, and then apparently like Zack Snyder was just like, hey, wouldn't it be cool if it was like we like dressed them the same as our characters, and then like they're like, this is like the set designer or the costume designer was like, what? It's just like, yeah, just like make it look like it's like the same characters, and it's like it's like a time loop or something. It's just like, what?
Still not necessary.
So that was just like a weird, like one of the many weird, like, just like Zack Snyder just like, hey, wouldn't it be cool if, like we kind of, like implied it was a time loop, but not really? Or just, like, sure, raise the idea of a time loop?
Like,
and I was, like, that, like, the time loop, the robot zombies, the, like...
Alien baby. Alien zombie babies.
Yeah, alien, like, the zombies being aliens, like, all that is just, like, it's all cool ideas, but then like no follow through on any of it. It's just like Zack Snyder's just like, hey, what if there were like robot zombies? And it's just like, why? It's just like, I don't know, it looks cool. I'll figure it out in the sequel, the anime show.
I wonder if it actually has enough momentum to carry it for more of this like multi-universe expanding,
yeah,
or like multi-movie thing, cinematic universe.
The four different things that are coming, or at least three different like shows that are coming.
Yep.
Yeah, So we'll see. We'll see if any of the I think it was like one of the most watched things in Netflix history. So I'm sure Netflix is like, yeah, like more of it. So did you see anything else besides Army of the Dead, Chris?
I've been trying to catch up on Castlevania. Like, I'm still on season 3, so I'm trying to, like, rush through it to get to season 4.
Mm-hmm. I haven't seen any of season 4 yet, so it's on my list soon, probably. But I did see all of season 3, so.
Yeah, I mean, there were some complaints about it that I kind of see coming. Like
that, like, everyone's totally separated. Like they never like cross over with each other at all.
I don't mind that, you know. I which is like weird because, you know, you like the first season because of how much they cross and did things.
Yeah.
But yeah, the season 3, it's a lot of side stories building up, but it seems like everyone's like the witty character. Like everyone's like joking and talking serious at the same time, like dramatic jokes.
Yeah.
I know later on it gets weird with, like, Alucard and his, like, weird twin, like, helper companion people.
Mm-hmm.
So, definitely gotta, like, you know, keep watching it.
Yeah, I think season 3, like, the Trevor Sypha storyline is definitely the strongest one, and then, like, the other ones are kind of just, like, they seem like they're just, like, kind of, like, set up for this final season. Like some cool stuff happens in the air storylines, but like the Sypha Trevor one is definitely like the best one of the season. It's like that's like kind of driving the whole season, keeping it like interesting.
So that's gonna be like.
Yeah. So anything else, Chris?
That's about it.
Well, I saw a bunch of stuff. So I actually got from Netflix, from my disc Netflix, I got The Empty Man, which I don't know if you've heard of The Empty Man, Chris, or saw anything about The Empty Man.
Nope.
So The Empty Man came out last year. It basically got fully dumped in like October last year when no one was at, like, basically theaters were barely open. It was kind of like a duel. Dumping thing, because it got caught in the pandemic, but it was also got caught in like the like Disney Fox merger, because it was it shot in like 2017, and then it was like at Fox, and then the whole merger happened, and it kind of just got put in the back burner, and then like Disney like just like dumped it out last year, and. It got dumped out with a very like generic looking trailer of like, oh, like these teens are like summoning this like urban legend called the Empty Man, and like it's like killing them one by one or something. Like
they're doing this and like the Bye Bye Man.
That's the thing. Like the trailer for this like made it look like it was just like a stupid like generic like Bye Bye Man sort of thing, which is like, oh, dumb teens get killed by like this like urban legend demon monster thing. But when you actually watch the movie, like it goes to some crazy places. it's based on a Boom Studios comic.
Okay.
But I guess the comic is like way different than the movie still. But like, basically the movie is it starts out with like this like 20-minute prologue where like these like hikers are in Bhutan. It's like these four friends and like something like one of them like falls into like this like crevice in like the mountains, and it's like kind of like goes catatonic, and there's like a weird skeleton and stuff, and then they're trying to figure out what's going on, and then like horrible stuff happens to all of them, and then it cuts to like 20 years later or something, because like the prologue is like 1995, and then it cuts to like 2018, and then you have James Badge Dale. Is like the former cop, but he got like he left the force. Now he's like he runs like a security store, and then he becomes a private investigator basically, because like one of his neighbors, like her daughter goes missing, after, and then like writes like The Empty Man made me do it, like this like bathroom wall in blood, but not human blood, like animal blood. So then like James Bedell is like trying to like figure out like, okay, what the hell is this, and like what happened. And then it gets like, it's like, it makes it seem like it's going to be like a, like, oh, this is going to be like a, like, weird demon thing that's like killing people. Like this, like, urban legend is actually real. But then it gets into this crazy territory of like, there's like a Scientology as cult. And then all this kind of crazy collective consciousness, like psychological stuff.
How long is this movie? Because it seems like it's a few different concepts.
Yeah, it's like shockingly long too. It's like 2 hours and 17 minutes long.
That's,
so
that's how we crammed all,
like,
this.
Yeah, it's not like a 90 minute like schlock fest like a Bye Bye Man or something. So yeah, so it's nothing like the trailer sold. Like it's not a teens get killed by a demon thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Like it's like a mystery like noir like investigation movie. Like
it's almost like what's that movie?
It's like True Detective, but then like it turns out like the implied supernatural stuff is actually real. Like,
no, what was that show that was on HBO, and it was like they're trying to hunt like this mystical being creature? Jason Bateman was in it.
Oh, the Outsider.
Yeah, sounds like The Outsider.
I guess maybe kinda, but like maybe if like The Outsider had like a crazy like Scientology cult or that, like, behind it, like if like a Scientology cult was like worshiping like the Outsider or something, then that's like what's going on in The Empty Man. It's like this doomsday cult that like wants to like bring the Empty Man, or like they can like communicate with the Empty Man via like meditations, and it goes to like some crazy, like, it goes to like crazy places, like it goes like. If you're expecting these dumb teens call like this like demon Empty Man to like, and then it starts killing them, like that's like 10 minutes of the movie.
Okay, it gets more complex. So
yeah,
run from this like society of monsters, I guess.
It gets way more complicated. Like it just goes to some crazy places. I will say like there's a twist at the end that I don't think it's a cool idea, but then it just makes you question everything like in a bad way. I'm just like, wait, that doesn't make any sense. Like when you're like,
it's twist just to be a twist and doesn't actually make like a plot sense.
Yeah, it feels like a twist to be like a shocking twist. It's not like a Sixth Sense twist where it's like, well, this makes me like rethink the entire movie, and like it makes the movie like totally different now.
Yeah, like, that's a good twist. Movies that do twists can do that is like what sticks with you. But if a twist just for like, was the bad guy all along, you're like,
yeah.
Wow.
This one is just like, it's like, oh, here's the twist. Then it's just like, but wait, like this twist doesn't make any sense based on what we've seen for this entire movie. Like what, like it's just like, all right, like,
is the twist like true?
Like, yeah, well, it's a twist of like the nature of like one of the it's like what the Empty Man actually is, and like what the like ultimate goal of like the cult is.
You don't need to talk about it more, just in case I stumble upon this again. But
yeah, I won't spoil the twist, but like it definitely makes you question things in like a like plot like this doesn't make sense way, and not like a like, wow, like my, like this make this whole like recontextualizes the entire movie way. Like,
yeah, I know. Horror movies that try to throw a twist in there, they either go like simple and like, okay, you know, that's a nice twist, or it's like too complicated where now you question, like, you feel like you just learned about something from another movie.
Yeah. But yeah, I would say The Empty Man, it's definitely much more interesting than like the trailer sold it as. And I guess it's becoming like a cult, kind of like a cult horror movie. There's not a lot of people like saying like, oh yeah, this got dumped like last year, but like it's like actually interesting, worth checking out. So, just be aware of like the twist is kind of like not that great, but like a lot of it is like pretty interesting, and like not a lot of jump scares. It's more like just like kind of like this like eerie, like creepy like investigation movie. It's definitely has like the vibe of like a True Detective or something, where it's just like James Van Jail is just like looking into like this like bizarre cult and like trying to figure out what's going on with them. So yeah, so I checked that out. Then also I head over to Shudder. I saw a bunch of stuff on Shudder this week as well. I finally saw Psycho Goreman.
Okay.
Which was awesome. Definitely lived up to like what I was hoping it would be. You definitely need to be on like the vibe, like you need to be in its like in like the vibe of that movie. Like you need to be like on its level of like humor and stuff. Like if you're not on its level of humor, like you're probably gonna think it's like the dumbest thing that's ever been made. But if you are on the level of humor, which I was, like it's like super, it's just hilarious and awesome. Like I feel like you need to be in like that, like it's sort of like the same vibe as like a like I don't know, like an Adult Swim, like Too Many Cooks or something. Like if you're like it's just like bizarre, like gory, bizarre, not like craziness. Like, and it's also like an homage to like there's a lot of like it's like Power Rangers and like 80s, like it's like ET, like kind of a little bit. It's like a bunch of stuff. It's like a general parody of like 80s and 90s movies.
I think yeah, especially when it's like kids find Psycho Goreman and try to befriend him and stuff.
Yeah, it's sort of like an homage slash parody of like. Any sort of like, oh, kids stumble across like this like creature from another world or something, but instead of like a lovable like ET or something, it's just like the like embodiment of evil that like destroys planets.
It befriends them, like that's the cute thing about it.
Well, not really. He's like Psycho Goreman, even though basically the setup is like Psycho Goreman has been like buried on Earth, and then these two kids there's the girl named Mimi who's like an absolute psycho, and then her brother Luke who's like more of like a like he's like the probably the most normal person in the movie, and then they make up this game called Crazy Ball, which is like this like recurring thing through the whole movie. It's sort of like it's like Kelvin Hobbs that had like they're like fake like game like ball game
Calvin
that made
ball.
No sense Calvin Ball it made no sense. Like this is the same thing as like Crazy Ball. It only makes sense to them. But they play it, play it constantly. But like Luke's brother loses, and then like Mimi's like, "Oh, dig your own grave, and I'm gonna bury you alive because you lost." So Luke digs this huge hole in their yard, and they find Psycho Goreman's like stasis chamber or whatever he's been buried in. And then they manage to like Mimi like figures out this combination like unlocks this gem. And so Psycho Goreman gets loose, but then, like, because Mimi has the gem, she can control him and, like, make him do whatever she wants. But he's forced to do whatever he wants, but he's constantly just like, as soon as I get that gem, I'm going to suck out your vital liquids and drink them from your skull. and then they're just like, all right, here you go. Dress up in these sunglasses. Or like, you have to play in our band. You have to play drums in our band. So it's like they're making him do like this like stupid like 80s eighties montage or stuff. And he's just constantly like, the second I get free, you will die a horrible death. And then all sorts of crazy stuff happens. Like he has like this whole like troop of like. Like henchmen, they're like it's like the prophets, the paladins of Obsidian. That he tries to like get like to come rescue him, but then they like turn on him. So there's this whole crazy battle with them, and Psycho Goreman all the creatures in this movie are just like amazing, like practical like suits and effects. Like it's all practical. Like they all look amazing. Like it's like the best Power Rangers monsters you can imagine. But then we're just like over the top insane gore. Like every time someone gets murdered, it's just like gushers of blood everywhere.
This is the same guy that did Turbo Kid, right?
No. They did a movie called Manborg that came. I think it came out the same year as Turbo Kid. Which Manborg is like definitely in the same vein as like Psycho Goreman, but like way lower budget, but definitely in the same vein. It's like lots of like cool practical stuff, lots of like cool practical gore, and like a lot of like just like weird humor mixed with like 80s, 90s like parody stuff. But like just all, so much great stuff in Psycho Gore, man. Like there's like a whole like 80s montage of like them like forcing the Psycho Gorman to like dress up and like playing their band, and like, there's like a whole like there's a whole plot where like the brother Luke has like a friend named Alistair, and then Mimi's like, oh, I want Alistair to like be like my boyfriend or like be like into me, and then Psycho Gorman's like, oh, I know I can seduce him the way I seduce like the like Spider Queen of Jaraxxus or whatever, and then like, but then he like turns like Alistair into like a giant brain monster, and then but then no one like comments on it for the rest of the movie. Like it's like Mimi, Luke, and this giant brain monster just hanging out, and like Alistair's parents don't mention it. Like no one in town mentions it. this little boy, this tween boy is now like a giant brain monster, and like no one reacts at all to it.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. So there's a lot of that stuff where like no one reacts to like anything that's happening in like an believable way. Everyone's just like, all right. Like the parents freak out once, and then they're like, Mimi's just like shows them how like that she can control, and the parents are just like, all right.
It's very like, comic world where it's like they're just used to like unusual shit like day by day.
Yeah.
Maybe to them it's like Psycho Gorman isn't the first monster they uncovered in this town.
I don't know.
You know, because most movies, if you think about it, are always like whenever they say we're a monster, that's the first time they've ever seen that monster or like something unusual. I kind of find it kind of refreshing when like the people are just like, oh, like, you know what I mean? Like in Power Rangers, every fucking day is just like a question of what's real, you know, and if there's a god, because why would this happen?
Well, there is like this huge, like big, there's like a definitely like, an extended like universe of like Psycho Gorman stuff with like there's like this like alliance of aliens, and like this like there's like the like Templars who enslave Psycho Gorman, and like but then he like freed himself, and then it became like this like warlord. So you get a bunch of like flashbacks of like Psycho Gorman's like backstory and stuff, and there's like it's like a lot of cool just like him just like horrifically murdering people on different planets and stuff. Yeah, definitely. If you have Shudder, like I think Psycho Gorman, definitely a must watch. Especially, but definitely if you're like not into it in like the like within like the first like 15, 20 minutes or so, you're probably never gonna be into it. So, but yeah, if you're like on its wavelength, like it's awesome. It's like it ends with like a 90s rap song, like. So then also on Shudder, I saw the McPherson tape, which I believe it's not the first found footage movie, but it's definitely one of the first. Like it came out before Blair Witch. I think Cannibal Holocaust is probably like the first big found footage movie, but yeah, McPherson tape came out like shortly afterwards. It came out in, like, 1989, so, like, 10 years before Blair Witch, and it's basically, it's like a VHS tape that, at the beginning of the movie, they claim it's, like, this is, like, legit, a tape that was found in, like, the home of, like, the Van Heese family, and it's basically an hour-long movie, where it's, like, this family is gathered to, like, celebrate, like, the birthday of, like, this, like, five-year-old girl named Michelle. It's like her parents and uncles and the grandma, and they're all just like celebrating this birthday party, but then like the power goes out, and then like it's like weird lights appear overhead, and then like so then it's like what's going on, and then they kind of like the like uncle and the brothers kind of go in the woods, and then, like they see like the spaceship, and they see like aliens, and it's just like so they start freaking out and like run back to the house and like get guns and trying to like protect the house. So it's a solid, but like it's not like the best found footage we've ever seen. But I mean, considering it's like the second one ever made, like it definitely sets like you definitely see like a lot of like the tropes that came later in it. And some like the budget was is absurd. Like they made this movie for like a couple thousand dollars, so it's not like you're not gonna get like crazy alien effects or anything. But like, they do a good job, like kind of like implying alien stuff with just like red lights and they do put some like kids in suits. So it's like kids in alien suits walking around. And it, there's some creepy stuff like at one point like people are like being like they like lock the cabin up, but then like people are being like telepathically compelled to, like trying to open the door. So like people are just like wandering off like to the front of the house like not knowing it and like trying to open the door. But there's a lot of, there's a lot of like Blair Witch style like running through the woods and it's like the camera's going crazy and you can't see what's happening. But yeah, I would say if you're into found footage, like it's interesting to check it out. Because it's like one of the originators, like it came out before Blair Witch, so. And it's better than a lot of like found footage that came afterwards too. Like there's definitely like recent found footage movies that are like way more that are way worse than this one. So.
Well, this is like an early attempt, and pretty much yeah. There's no rules.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting to check out as like just to see like pre Blair Witch found footage. Like I'd say definitely it's only an hour. I'd say we're checking out. And also, if you're like into alien stuff, if you're into like alien UFO stuff. And then last thing, also on Shudder, I watched. I think there's two episodes left I haven't seen yet, but I watched this anthology show called Dead House Dark.
Interesting
that, title. That came from Australia, so it's like an Australian horror anthology show, and I think it's like six episodes. Each episode is like just kind of around like 15 minutes long, so like short horror movie or horror stories, not like a full like hour or something like Creepshow or like half hour. More like Love, Death, and Robots length, but it's all live action. It's not animation like Love, Death, and Robots or anything. And it's also kind of like it leans more toward like it's sort of Black Mirror-esque a little bit because like a lot of stories like kind of deal with like technology. So there's like a technology kind of lean to like a bunch of stuff. Like one of the episodes is like these like YouTube like streamers that have like a mysterious places blog going to they find like this like staircase that seems to like go to like nowhere. So they're exploring that and they're like streaming it the entire time. And then like one is probably the best one I saw is the first episode where it's like it's all told from like a dashboard cam of like this car. And these like sisters like are leaving this like Halloween party and they find like an accident in the middle of the wood. Like they're like on their way home and they find like an accident and then it's like stuff happens after they find the accident. But it never leaves like the dashboard cam.
So it's always facing towards the car view or
yeah, it's always facing out from. Over the hood of the car, so you're seeing like the front of the car perspective the entire time. And then, yeah, and then just like another one. It's like this runner like finds like this like she like loses like this big track meet, but then she finds like this like very unusual like training program online and starts doing it. And it's like super extreme. Like, oh, you need to like cut yourself. You need to cut like you need to cut like no pain, no gain to your like stomach. So like. To like accept like the pain of losing.
So it's like a hellish Peloton.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, I was the first episode kind of sets the bar pretty high because that one had a cool twist that like was like oh that's cool, that's a cool idea, and the rest of them kind of, like are okay, but like none of the ones I've seen so far like reach the level of the first episode. I think there's two more I haven't seen yet, so which I'll probably check out at some point. But yeah, I mean they're short. They're pretty good. So if you have a Shudder, you're looking for like an anthology thing to watch, Dead House Dark is on there. You check that out. I think it might be getting a second season. I don't know. I think they like licensed it from whatever Australian network had it. So it's not like it's a Shudder original, but I don't think they're not making it like this like Australian company's making it. So I think it's up to them if they're making it more or not. But yeah, so Shudder, tons of great stuff on there. Shudder, like for $5 a month, like Shudder is definitely one of the best like streaming services to get.
There's no commercials, right?
No commercials, yeah. Like there's tons of great stuff on there. So fully endorse Shudder. So that's it for me this week. So when we wrap things up, you can have a slide. We got a bunch of stuff up there. You can we've got a review of the new game Biomutant. So if you want to hear some thoughts on that game, you can check that out. We've got a new commentary coming up soon, so stay tuned to the site in a couple weeks. We'll have a new commentary up. And you can still go back and listen to our commentary from last month, which is The Mummy Returns. You can watch that along with us. And all the other usual stuff that goes up the site is up there as well, so head over and check all that stuff out. And yeah, so for Chris, I am Zach, and we will see you next week. For more Everything Action, head to www.everythingaction.com. You can also follow us on Twitter at EVAction, on Facebook by searching for Everything Action, and follow us on Instagram at everything.action. You can also subscribe and get more episodes on Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify.